This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. With me today is Anya McAndrew, shamanic transpersonal psychotherapist, ordained priestess, astrologer, tantricator, a fabulous woman who has been working over 33 years with women and couples in their healing in various modalities, and I'm delighted to have you on the show here today. Welcome, Anya.
Thank you, Francesca.
Anya, when I looked at your bio and had an opportunity before the show to talk about you and your journey, I was so impressed with the depth and breadth of who you are and what you have to offer. And, you know, this woman from Illinois who, you know, lived in various parts of the country, who started out in one way and has evolved into something else. And would you tell us maybe a little bit about that journey? I think our listening audience would love to connect with you. I was fascinated by where you started and a smidge of how you've come to where you are today.
Well, actually, I started, I was not really satisfied with my undergraduate degree, which was, you know, didn't feel really complete. And one of my first jobs out of college was as a juvenile probation officer in a detention home for teenagers. And what I started seeing, this was in the early 70s, was these kids who were running away from home, and when I'd ask them why they ran away from home, they would tell me that they'd been sexually abused. And that just flabbergasted me, and of course, as a young counselor, I would take that home with me, and it was really a source of stress for me because I didn't really know how to handle it, but I found that intuitively I did know how to handle it, and I just began to talk to them and tell them that obviously something was going on that was not their fault, but I didn't really understand it. So I ended up going back to college and getting a master's degree in counseling, and then after that found myself taking a job in a rape crisis center. And this was in the midst of what we call second wave feminism. So first wave feminism was, you know, when women got the vote. Second wave feminism was in the late 60s and 70s and 80s, and so, you know, it was the battered women's movement, the rape crisis movement, and here I was right in the middle of it and learning really about sexual abuse, incest, rape, and starting to really understand what that was all about and understanding really that it wasn't so much about sex, it was about power. And it really had a lot to do with, you know, this patriarchal system that we live in. And so I did a lot of work as a therapist with women of all kinds. And then I moved to Hawaii. I moved to Maui, and I met Charles and Caroline Muir, who were, you know, the premier Western Tantra teachers, and you know, became involved in Tantra and found that I just really loved that piece, but it wasn't really connecting up with, you know, sexual abuse. And it took me a while to really put all the pieces together and, you know, how could sex be so beautiful and so sacred? And then this other thing is happening, you know, at the shadow level and in the culture, and it's so predominant. So I left Maui about 7 years later and came back and became involved in shamanism. And because as a therapist, I wanted to learn the most profound ways of moving people through trauma. And I was still very much doing psychotherapy work. And so I discovered shamanic breath work, which is the work of Venus Rising and Star Wolf. And I live in a little therapeutic community in North Carolina, and became trained in that and some other tools and techniques, and And then I learned about something called the Priestess Process and a woman named Nicole Christine, who was the creatrix of that process. And she's passed away now. She actually left the planet in November. But I brought her to Atlanta, where I was living, and invited some of my friends, and we all went through this amazing process of learning how to do living ceremony, understanding the archetype of the priestess as an ancient future archetype. And then all the pieces started falling together, and I realized that we can hold space for healing, and we can hold space for the sacred, and the sexual can be part of that, and that oftentimes women women who've been sexually abused are actually carrying the medicine of sexual healers. So oftentimes if they can work all the way through their sexual wounding, they carry that medicine for others to be able to heal sexuality on the planet. That's a really long answer, Francesca, but I'm going to give you an overview.
It brought up many things as I was listening, and I love that last piece, that the wounds that we carry, that concept of the wounded healer, that the wounds we carry, whether of sexual trauma, physical trauma, emotional trauma, and or spiritual trauma, that these wounds, if assimilated, if harvested and healed, really become a pathway for us to be the healers, like an inoculation in a sense, where we become the healers in the world for the splitting that's been happening for thousands of years. And, you know, that when we talk about the patriarchy, I feel that it's equally wounding to men as it is to women. And that sense of the trauma and abuse that our culture carries, the conflicted messages about the body, the emotions, aging, and sexuality, that men and women both carry these traumas, and often almost all of us receive conflicted messages that are wounding to the wholeness of our soul self. And most of us, by the time we're adults, have experienced some more specific traumas around being touched in ways that didn't honor the preciousness of our limits and boundaries, didn't honor the preciousness of our wants and needs. And often for men, there's a tendency to have that touching be more towards physical violence, and for women to include a sexual violence. And there are many women who have received the physical violence, and there are many men who have also received the sexual violence, and many of us receiving the emotional wounding, where the way we were spoken to, the way we were listened, was not with a sense of, you precious human being, that I want to hear what you have to say. And, you know, shut up, don't talk to me. A lot of us heard those kinds of things, or very denigrating statements. So I love that you're bringing your own life, is bringing us this pathway and this potential of healing. And, you know, I'm going to have us go to a break, I think, a little early right now, because when we come back, I so want to invite your wisdom for our listening audience of how we can deepen the sense of recognizing what are the wounds that we carry, how can we heal them and become the healer for one another in our relationships and in the bedroom. When we come back from a break and a word from our fabulous sponsors, who we invite you to support to keep shows like this continuing to come to our world, and we'll be right back.
Listen to On the Minds of Men, Uncensored Sex Talk with Dr. Lori, a weekly audio program bringing the best in sex therapy to your life on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex Tantra and Kama Sutra with Anya McKendrick, shamanic transpersonal psychotherapist and tantric educator and just goddess incarnate. And we were talking about this journey of wounding that our culture carries and this potential for healing. And there, I see that there's a possibility for almost our listening audience could be any of three places. They could be listening from, oh my goodness, I'm the person that needs healing. They could be listening from, oh, it's my partner. My partner is the one that needs healing. Or they could be listening from, you know, both of us really have things that need to be healed, and we're on this journey together. And where would you like to start bringing your wisdom to where our listening audience might be?
Well, first of all, you know, the statistics are that, you know, one in, I think it's four women have been sexually wounded or abused by an authority figure of some kind by the time they reach adulthood. And I think that statistics are maybe one in three of all men. So, you know, we tend to get attracted to each other. You know, if you've been wounded sexually, you will tend to be attracted to someone who maybe has sort of an opposite wound. You know, if you've...
What does that mean, an opposite
wound? Well, an opposite wound could be someone who tends to be maybe more addicted to sex, or someone who tends to be somewhat, you could say, sexually anorexic, who avoids sex for some reason. That people who are wounded, you know, there may be one person in the partnership who's more obviously wounded. But one of the things that I know about working with couples is that if you can discover what it is that will allow your partner, what it is that you can do that will allow your partner to begin to heal from whatever it is that they're needing to heal, and you can stretch into doing that, that in fact what happens is that begins to heal you. So if your partner, for instance, needs you to slow down sexually and be more tender, that you may be the kind of person that came from a family where there wasn't any tenderness. And so that's a skill that you actually need to learn. And if you are a person who's been sexually abused and tends to be, let's say, sexually phobic because of your abuse, maybe you were sexual when you first got into the relationship, but then you're kind of sexually phobic once you get closer.
And phobic means afraid of sex? Is that what
phobic means? Yes, afraid of sex, yes. That for you to really learn the skills of lovemaking, for you to really learn how to be present not only with your own body but with your partner's body, can actually start to help you build the skills that will start to heal what's going on there. And the primary climate needs to be one of safety. That's always the case, and safety is not necessarily hard won by people who've been sexually abused. So it really takes just slowing everything down and being willing to not just be sexual, but to be sensual, to learn about your own body, to learn about your partner's body, and to not necessarily go to intercourse, but to find all kinds of other ways of making love. And I really encourage both women and men in partnerships to learn the art of sacred spot work. Not only sacred spot work for men, but sacred spot work for women.
And what do we mean by sacred spot?
The sacred spot is the G spot, the Grafenberg spot, which is, you know, named after some scientist. So we call it the sacred spot instead. And the sacred spot for a woman is right at the top. When you enter the yoni or the vagina, it's almost right before or right after the pubic bone. It's just right there at the top, and it's spongy-like. And when you begin to massage it, it swells. And that particular place is a place where women hold a lot of sexual tension, and they hold a lot of sexual abuse. And also the whole yoni, the whole vagina, the whole vaginal wall, there can be places of sharpness or pain or numbness, and learning to work with that, with the whole yoni, the whole clock face of the yoni.
And I would say that for myself that I've absolutely experienced this, absolutely, and that for me, When I'm having a healing session with my partner, I mean, sometimes we're just, you know, kind of in the flow and, you know, working, or it either works or it doesn't work. But when we're really wanting to bring healing to one of us, we set that aside. You know, so if I'm the one, the focus is on my healing, it's just for me. If the focus is on his healing, it's just for him. And when we're, you know, for me, I've been touched in my life in ways that were just even disconnected. It wasn't necessarily full abuse where I was raped, but I was sort of colluding in my own wounding because I was allowing someone to enter me or to touch me when I really wasn't that into it. And now I find that that slowing down, looking into my partner's eyes, I really need to know, are you here with me? Do you love me? Am I precious to you? And then as I might have my that G-spot touched and pressure brought to it, I might cry. Or that yes. as he's entering me, there might be moments of pleasure, but also moments of pain. And so we'll slow down and just breathe into that. And he'll stop for a moment, and then he'll say, okay, let's just breathe. Let's just breathe into that spot. And, you know, I'm going to put a little pressure, you know, with his phallus, with his cock. And then as we breathe into it, there'll be a release. And he tells me that it feels amazing to him when that knot of suffering, that knot of what I experience as pain releases, that he feels a sense of being welcomed and being connected to me even more deeply.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And men, you know, really want to be received. I mean, when a man is received by a woman, it just, you know, from what I understand, it just feels so good to actually be received, and to work out those places in the vagina really allow a certain kind of receptivity that feels really good for both partners. And, you know, men have a sacred spot too, and it's reached actually through the anus, and it's not the prostate, it's actually in front of the prostate. And it's a very tender little place. It's a little like a little shelf, and there's all kinds of things that can come up for men. Childhood wounding. It doesn't even need to be sexual. It could be issues around fathers or mothers, or insecurity, or teenage things that happen in teenagehood. It doesn't even have to be sexual. And if there has been sexual abuse, you know, tenderly working with that spot and breathing into it, and, you know, really allowing yourself with a partner who's really willing and able to learn how to do this, being willing and able to go into an altered state and to move that trauma. These are some of the techniques of shamanism. These are some of the techniques of, you know, going into an altered state, which sex certainly can be and is for many people, but doing it in a conscious way where you're setting intention and you're calling in the sacred before you do it. The sexual healing can be really wonderful, and doesn't even have to be inside the body. It can also be outside the body and just touch. And there's so many things. I mean, Tantra has so much to offer us.
I want to talk more about that, you know, the altered states, and also invoking the sacred, that concept of invoking the sacred, some of the shamanistic qualities, when we come back from a break and a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Life in an Orgasm-Based Community, a weekly online audio program where orgasmic innovators share the intricacies of their practice on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. And we're talking about that sense of the altered states and evocation and invocation. So how do I know that I'm in an altered state or someone else is? How do I help someone get there? And even why would I want them to get there? And how do I hold it for them if they are?
Well, one of the things that I would delineate here is that, you know, we can be dissociated. If you've been sexually wounded, you can go into a dissociative state, which is a kind of altered state where you're actually feeling outside of your body. And that's not what I'm talking about when I talk about an altered state. When I talk about an altered state, I'm talking about consciously setting the field so that you can go into a relaxed expansion of consciousness rather than a dissociation of your consciousness. And, you know, there are lots of different tools that have been used through the ages. Music is a wonderful tool. Just one of the CDs that I love that always works is a CD by Shastro called Tantric Heart. It's just a wonderful CD for taking us into that love space, into that heart space. Candles, aromatherapy of different kinds, you know, of course, sensual bedding and a really safe space that's also really beautiful, and really allowing yourself to transform, to sort of shapeshift into the priest or the priestess for your partner. That archetype that calls heaven down, you know, calls heaven into the body.
Let me just slow this down a little bit. That when I heard you describing the setting the space, which was gorgeous, that when we're saying safe, we sometimes can also mean that the phones are turned off and the doors might be locked if they're kids, and so we know we're not going to be interrupted by anything, as well as the sense of beauty that you described for us. And then if someone is disassociated, I've been that way at times where I literally, my energy is out of my body, my vulva is very numb, and or my partner has been that. Before we go deeper into that evocation, invocation of the divine, how would I bring someone back? I notice that, you know, they're not with me. You know, maybe there's something that's signaling me that either I'm not fully present or they're not fully present.
I think one of the ways to bring a person back is really to you know, both sit up, you know, so that one person isn't lying down, and just get into present tense. Instructing your partner to, can you feel your feet? Can you feel your hand? Let's breathe. And do you see me sitting in front of you? I'm here. I'm Anya. Do you know that it's me? Yes. Maybe eating something, keeping, you know, if for someone who's really dissociative, you want to do sexual healing work, you probably want to keep alcohol and drugs out of the space for sure. You don't need that because that's going to dissociate that person further. You know, having maybe something to drink, maybe some hot tea or, you know, a grounding aromatherapy essence of some kind.
What would you consider grounding?
Let's see, I'm trying to think. Something like perhaps a mint would be good. Flower essence like Rescue Remedy would be also really good. Let's see, I'm trying to think of some other essences that would be good. Can you think of anything, Francesca, that would really ground a person? Palo Santo would bring the spiritual in, but you don't necessarily want to bring the spiritual in the midst of dissociation. You'd want to wait until that person was pretty grounded. Maybe some sage and cedar.
Sage, cedar, sometimes cinnamon, or even chocolate.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, even the scent of it, you know, something that, you know, just has that sense of earth or being deeper into the body. Great. I love this. This is so good. And so when we're listening to Anya, what she's letting us know is that for these really sacred sessions, there's some preparation. We want to prepare. I believe in, you know, sacred quickies. I believe in, you know, raw sacred sex. But there's really time to, when the intention is truly healing, expansion, or bringing in a complete sense of divinity, I'm going to want to slow it down. I'm going to want to set time aside. I'm going to want to prepare this space, just like you would for any long trip or any advanced sports technique. You want to prepare. So we want to think of that. And then we have that sense of the invoking or evoking the divine. And I think of evoking as bringing something out of myself. So I'm evoking it out. It's deep within me and I'm bringing it forward. And invoking is when something is of the universe, of the great divine, of the great mystery of the allness. And then I'm bringing it down into me, often an experience of almost bringing it down through the top of my head or down through the top of someone else's head. So, what are some of your favorite phrases or thought images or, you know, there's not a lot of training in this out in the world, so this may be very new for some of you out there, is this this idea that, but every tradition has it, the gifts of the Spirit, we say in Christianity, where we connect with something very expansive, very divine, and something we experience it as almost bigger than ourselves really comes through.
Mm-hmm.
So what are
mm-hmm.
some of your favorite ways to either bring it through or out of yourself or bring it through or into another?
Well, I think that setting intention for the session, especially the person who's the receiver, is really important. That's one of the ways that you can start to call in the sacred energy, as well as know that your partner, the person who's receiving, is actually not dissociative. If they can really speak to their intention for the session, and you can really feel that intention, then you know that they're really present. And then, of course, you want to call in, the priest and priestess in both of you, and you want to call in their higher selves. And the priest and priestess within are sort of like our higher selves, actually.
Can I ask you to do it now? So, invite the priestess and me, and the priestess and you to be present. How would you do that?
Okay. So, Francesca, I would like to take a moment now. And another way that I would do this is I would use a drum beat. And I might walk around you with that drum beat. And I might say, let's go ahead now and let's grow a tail or a root down into Mother Earth and wrap that tail or that root right around the center of the earth so you really feel held by the Great Mother. And then also opening up the crown of your head, to the Father energies, the Father Sky energies, and letting them both meet at the heart. And from this place in the heart that we call in all of those who love us in the universe, and we call in our own priest and priestess selves as well as our higher selves, and we call in those ancestors that are standing behind us at all times and want to see us clear our lineage and clear whatever may be blocking us from moving forward. And we also want to call in all the spirits and devas that might be with us, the four directions, if those are sacred to you, and the as above, so below, which is the sky, the outer celestial energies that also join with us, and the energies that are outside in the world that also join with us. And we just call in everything that's sacred to us. And for someone who has a different belief system, you just simply call in those things that are sacred to you, maybe the four directions or the celestial energies don't quite work for you. Maybe it is, in fact, Mother, Father, God that is most potent. So whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. It's the intention.
The Christos, and the Divine Mother Mary, and the Archangel Michael, and the Archangel Gabriel, you know, that we can,
we can call in
whatever really feels beautiful to us.
Exactly. The angels, the archangels, you know, it doesn't matter. There's so many, many unseen worlds that they just love to come. They just love to come and show up. And I always like to add that only those energies that are beneficial to us be there. That the ones that are not, that do not have our highest good in mind, that they not be allowed to come in.
That is so beautiful. Thank you so much for modeling that ability to prayerfully call in energies of the highest and best and release any energies that are not of the highest and best for us here and now and for all times. And how would people find you? How can they work with you? How can they learn about you and connect with you in various ways?
Well, my website is pretty easy to remember. It's called Goddess on the Loose. And goddessontheloose.com, and you can find all the information around contacting my email, my phone number. I'm actually in Western North Carolina. I do a lot of work here, but I also travel around the country. I do couples work in different places. I have some couples workshops that my partner and I are doing called Discovering Your Sacred Purpose as a Couple. I'll be doing several of those ongoing, and I do a sexual healing retreat a couple times a year. So goddessontheloose.com is the best way to connect with me.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me today and all of us, Anya. It was gorgeous to have your presence.
Thank you, Francesca.
And I want to thank you, our listening audience, for being with us on this show, for being on the journey of the sacred in life and in sexuality. And if you want to learn more about Anya, see her gorgeous picture, her bio, learn more about me, see my bio, get transcripts of the show, contact either one of us for our services, you can do that at www.personallifemedia.com. That's www.personallifemedia.com. Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.